My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Plumbers 911 Football Monday starts now with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's right, kicking off a Football Monday with you. It is Rami Makhlouf. Bears overnight's Tyler Ferengul on the other side of the glass, on the ones and twos, and taking your calls all night long at 312-644-6767. I'm with you till 5 a.m. to kick off a Football Monday here on The Score, and I want to hear from you guys aplenty at 312-644-6767. You can give me a call, you can drop a text, and you can line them up while I recap today's game a little bit. Also on tonight's show, tonight, what do we call it, Tyler? I've never done an overnight. I listen to plenty of overnights. Les Grobstein was one of my heroes while I was delivering pizzas to get through college, and he taught me a lot about this radio game just by listening. But do we call it morning? Do I say good morning to the people? What do I do? I don't even know.
Yeah, let's do it. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a Bears. This is a Football Monday.
It is. Yeah,
Bears Victory Monday. This is what we're calling it.
You're right. If we're kicking off a Bears or Football Monday, then it is technically a good morning here in the city of Chicago. And it's a really good morning because they won 35-16, ladies and gentlemen. And like I said, just in case, I don't know, maybe the alarm didn't go off this morning because the game was at 8:30 in the morning. Just in case you missed anything, or maybe you're a third shifter and you were working when the game was going. I don't know. Maybe you just missed a game. And even if you saw it, even if you listened to it, it's fun to relive this one. It got off to a bit of a rough start, though. Maybe you forgot because it was so long ago, but it did get off to a bit of a rough start. This was literally how the game got started, and I was shaking my head.
And the Bears getting set to receive with DeAndre Carter and also Khalil Herbert, who will take a knee. There's a flag already on the play.
What? Already?
And two of them are on the field, and the Jaguars are pointing in the Bears' direction. So it won't take long to hear from Brad Allen today, which means the Bears are about to start on their own 25, it appears. Not the way you want to come out of the chute.
Kurt, you're trying to ride momentum.
Receiving team number 92. By rule, this penalty is enforced 5 yards at the end of the play. It will be first and 10 Chicago from the 25-yard line.
Yeah, not the way you want to come out of the chute. Not a good start. And it didn't get much better than there. And coming into the game, and Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner talked about this plenty to start the game, the Jaguars were the worst team in the NFL defensively on first drives. Teams were scoring on them left and right. That is not what Caleb Williams and the Bears did.
Third and 5 on the opening drive for the Bears here in London. Caleb running out of time and can't get back to the line of scrimmage. So the Jacksonville Jaguars getting off the field. Robertson Harris with the sack.
Three and out. And I'm like, man, really? This is it? Because I've had my frustrations with the offense. Looked great last week against Carolina, but I've had my frustrations with the offense, especially to start games. And I'm sitting there going, really? This is what we're doing? You start with a penalty and then a three and out. And another thing that's added to my frustrations this season, and trust me, it's going to be a very happy show, but this is the way the game started, and I'm just telling you what happened.
We have to get off to our own slow start.
Exactly. Matt Eberflus, and it would, specifically in the Houston game, two challenges that we all were sitting on our couches going, huh? What? Why'd you challenge that? And that's been a struggle of his as the Bears head coach. And there was a play here where it looked like an incomplete pass. Everybody at home and the announcers are going, that looked like an incomplete pass, and he just didn't challenge the play.
Quick throw. Brian Thomas slips, then gets his footing. Another first down for the Jaguars. Gain of 14.
See if that thing hit the ground right there.
We will see if there's a challenge flag coming out. There is no flag.
So that's how things started, and I was frustrated, man. I'm sure a lot of Bears fans were sitting at home frustrated. Jaguars capitalized on that with a field goal. Bears bend, don't break. They force them to go for the field goal, and the Bears get the ball back, and then this is how that drive ended.
Before this 3rd-and-7 snap. Williams avoids, Hines out, and the ball's out. They're ruling it incomplete. But there's Hines Allen with the play, and Caleb potentially holding on to it.
So two straight three and outs to start the game, a bad non-challenge by Matt Eberflus, and I was pretty frustrated at this point. I'm not going to lie. As a Bears fan, I woke up early to watch the game. I'm sitting there, and there are a lot of things that are happening that have been happening throughout this season that have been sticking points for me, that have been very frustrating for me and for a lot of Bears fans who have been watching this team throughout the season. But this is where things get good. The Bears defense turned things up. They get the ball right back, and then we see a little razzle-dazzle from the offense, and the Bears put some points on the board.
Fakes to Allen, fakes to Swift, and there's Kmet! Cole Kmet! Touchdown! 31 yards! What a play!
I've taken issue with some of what Shane Waldron has done this season. That was the first time this year where I was like, okay, all right. And I'm going to take out some time to give Shane Waldron some credit later in the show. But that was a play where I was like, oh, all right, now we're doing some things. And it was right after that we found out Cole Kmet got a new job suddenly today in London.
Easy pitch and catch, and the big tight end does the rest.
You want to talk about doing the rest? He's now the long snapper for the extra point. The backup long snapper is the guy who just scored the touchdown. Snap is good. Kick is good. There is no I in Kmet. Full teamwork effort as the Bears are on the board 7-3.
After a
dandy of a pitch, catch, and then a long snap for an extra point. We're seeing it all here in London.
Yeah, double duty for Cole Kmet all day long as the long snapper goes down. He's the backup long snapper. And now things are rolling. Things are rolling. The Bears are up 7-3. And it was the very next possession. Caleb Williams drops back. And Tyler, I don't know about you, but as soon, like when the ball was leaving his hands, I was like, whoa, because DJ Moore was wide open, man. They had this one. It was drawn up very nicely. DJ Moore beat his man. He got open. This throw goes to the pylon. It's 14-3 Bears, and we're talking about another connection from Caleb Williams to DJ Moore, but he just left it up a little too long.
Play fake. All kinds of time. There's DJ Moore, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Cisco. Moore was open, but a little too much air under it allowed Cisco to make the play.
Again, the defense comes up big. They force a three and out by the Jaguars right there. Then the Bears get the ball right back. And you know what? They didn't skip a beat. And Caleb Williams came right back out to that huddle, said, let's go, let's get some points. And they did just that, and it was Cole Kmet once again.
To Williams' left.
Let's throw into the end zone. There's Kmet doing it all here in London. Team 3 with 13 seconds to go.
And they capitalize on the extra point. 14-3 going into the half. And honestly, it could have been better. It could have been a bigger lead for the Bears. When you look at the statistics in the first half, and especially in that second quarter, time of possession, yards, the Bears were really dominating this game after the slow start that I talked about. The Jaguars got the ball in the second half, though, and I'm sure they're coming out thinking, okay, we're down 14-3. If we can come down and put some points on the board here, it's a one-score game, and the Bears' defense did what they've just done all season long and put end to any of those hopes.
And just play good situational ball.
Thanks, Coach.
Well, there's some situational ball as that is being ruled a catch and fumble by Evan Engram, returned by Elijah Hicks. During the conversation there, Trevor Lawrence found his tight end, and it is so close there as TJ Edwards knocked the ball out, and it is going to be a fumble.
And Hicks only in there because of the injuries to the secondary that the Bears came into today with. They suffered another one with Kyler Gordon having a hamstring injury and leaving this game. So guys coming on the field, stepping up in situations where they're needed, and the offense just kept things rolling. Caleb Williams talked coming into this game about needing to get Keenan Allen more involved in the offense, and he had a couple of receptions in the game, including a big third down reception that extended a drive, but it was this play where they really start to get Keenan Allen involved.
Third and goal. Right here. Jaguars need a stop. Williams over the middle. Keenan Allen. Touchdown. Having some tea in the Tottenham end zone. Third touchdown pass of the game for Caleb Williams.
Fun touchdown celebration. The little tea party in the end zone. They went to it three times. I don't know if you noticed, but on the fumble recovery, the whole defense ran to the end zone. They had a little tea party in front of the camera. It was that one. And then after Jacksonville answered with a touchdown, it was another Keenan Allen touchdown and another tea party in the end zone.
Chicago Bears, second and goal. DeAndre Swift doesn't get it. Instead, it's a touchdown to Keenan Allen. Two for Kmet, two for Keenan, four for Caleb.
And that time it was Tevin Jenkins pouring the tea down Caleb Williams' throat. That was the tea celebration on that one. They were really getting all they could out of the tea celebration.
How much time do you think they actually plan to get these different celebrations in for the couple of touchdowns and the turnover in the second half?
I mean, they had five touchdowns. They had five touchdowns. Taylor's, do you plan for five touchdowns? I don't know that you can plan for that, can you?
I don't think you can, but I mean, they obviously were buying into that whole London theme, and that's why they went with it a bunch of times.
It wasn't all about the offense, though. If Jacksonville had any hopes or any thoughts of getting back into this one, the defense put quick end to that. First, it was a sack.
14 minutes and change to go in this fourth quarter. Lawrence can't get away from the Chicago Bears and Chris Williams. Big sack for the Bears on defense.
I think that's one of the few names we haven't heard in terms of bringing a quarterback to the ground so far for the Bears this year. And then I mentioned earlier, guys getting a shot because of a banged up secondary. We saw it again on an interception that basically sealed the game.
Lawrence over the middle, intercepted, picked off by Josh Blackwell. And the Bears are having a day here in London.
They sure did. And just to cap it off, it was DeAndre Swift with a touchdown run to put a cherry on top of this one.
That's Doug Kramer, offensive lineman. He's a fullback who blows open the hole for DeAndre Swift.
touchdown.
There he is, met in the hole, able to get through Lloyd's tackle, find a way into the end zone.
What a flight home this is going to be for the Bears.
I love Doug Kramer getting in the backfield, as Olin Kruetz calls it, God's play. I love just large men lining up to move other large men out of the way and move the football forward and put some points up on the board. There was, I mean, if you want, and we have 5 hours, we will nitpick this game as the night goes on, a blocked field goal there in the closing minutes, and that's one of those things, kind of like what transpired to start the game. That's one of those things that you got to clean up and make sure it doesn't happen in the future, because if you're playing better teams, if you're playing closer games, that type of stuff will cost you. But the Bears come out on top, 35-16, and Matt Eberflus talked about his team moving in the right direction after the game.
You know, you make the progress and you want it to be linear, but it's not always that way. But we feel that, you know, he took a step in the right direction. Our football team took a step in the right direction of, you know, playing that complimentary football and him being able to distribute the ball and operate. You know, we ran some, you know, no huddle and some different things in there where he had to operate there at the line and did a nice job today.
Again, we'll hear Matt Eberflus's full post-game press conference later in the show, as well as Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, all coming up on Bears Overnight with me, Rami Makhlouf. But I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Not a lot to complain about in that football game that we just saw today. Again, some hiccups in the beginning, the blocked field goal at the end, and I'll get into that one. We'll really dissect this thing and pick it apart into the evening as we take you into Mullion Hall in the morning here on a Football Monday on the Score. But overall, just not a lot to complain about, and a really happy and fun day for Bears fans to get up early, watch their team go to England. National stage, they're on the NFL Network. They're the only game on for anybody in America who wanted to get up early and watch that one. And they put on a show, man. They put on an absolute show. And obviously, it starts with the quarterback and with Caleb Williams, who was he took another, you heard Matt Eberflus talk about it there, another big step forward for this dude today, man. And it's the efficiency that you really got to talk about when you talk about Caleb Williams and what he's done here over the last few weeks. 23 of 29, 226 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had a QBR of 88.4, a passer rating of 124.4, and he did have the one interception to start the or early in the game on that play that we played just a few minutes ago to DJ Moore. And if he puts that one on the pylon, like I said, the Bears are up even bigger earlier, and this thing looks, we're talking about damn near a 300-yard game and another touchdown, a 5-touchdown game for Caleb Williams if he does put that ball in place. But I don't know about other Bears fans when they're watching these games. There's been plenty that has frustrated me and had me pulling my hair out, especially with the way that the season started. They're on a bit of a roll right now. But when Caleb Williams makes mistakes like that, and we saw a couple of them in the Indianapolis game, I don't get that upset. I don't get that mad. I don't get that frustrated. I have a lot of patience for Caleb Williams. I don't have a lot of patience for people not named Caleb Williams within the Bears organization, but I have a lot of patience for Caleb Williams. And that's just one of, like, when it happened, it took the air out of me. I'm not going to, I was sitting on my couch and just went, oh. But then as soon as I step back and look at it, that's one of those plays that you kind of just have to expect and accept that a rookie quarterback is going to make. Like, and I said at the beginning of the season, I'm gonna have a lot of patience. I'm gonna give him the grace to make those rookie mistakes and go through those growing pains. It's the guys around him that I need to see pick him up, and that's how they're still gonna win football games, through those growing pains and through those mistakes. And we saw that today, Tyler. We saw exactly that today out there on the field.
It's so tough because, again, I mean we've highlighted all offseason from everyone here, all the outside media resources, about this is an unprecedented situation that he is walking into, and it really is tough because how good can he be with all the weapons around him? And We're just seeing, like you said, week by week, I mean, 6 incomplete passes in the Rams game, 9 incomplete passes in the Panthers game, over 300 yards, and then today only 6 incomplete passes and 4 touchdowns. Everything is just getting so much better, and he's only 6 starts in. That's what's so remarkable about this short process so far this season.
It is pretty remarkable. The growth that you see step by step, game by game, is pretty remarkable. I'm going to take a segment out later in the show, Tyler, of just focused on Caleb Williams and some of the dive deep into some of the numbers, because there are some mind-blowing numbers when it comes to what he's doing as a rookie quarterback, as a Bears rookie quarterback, what he's doing compared to other quarterbacks in terms of his contemporaries this year. Like, we're seeing some really, really impressive stuff from the kid 6 games into the season, and it's got me excited. It's got me happy. How about you? 312-644-6767. And like I said, it starts with the quarterback, but it doesn't end with the quarterback. I just want to highlight a few other people heading into the break here in just a few minutes before we get to some of your calls and texts. DeAndre Swift, man, now 3 games in a row. And again, we'll focus on Shane Waldron later in the game, but he's a guy you have to give credit for sort of getting that running game going and getting a lot of balance going for this Bears offense, because that's going to take the pressure off Caleb Williams. That's going to take the pressure off an offensive line that is still not where the Bears need it to be. But if teams know that the running game is something you have to respect, that's going to make those offensive linemen's life a whole lot easier. And today he goes for 17 carries for 91 yards. The touchdown that you just heard, he added another 28 on the ground on 4 receptions. Caleb Williams ran for 56 yards. That's another thing he's sort of unlocking in his game. And he hit 7 different receivers. 8 different receivers today. 9 different receivers that Caleb Williams hit today. He hit Kmet for 5 for 70 yards and the 2 touchdowns. Keenan Allen had 5 receptions for 41 yards and the 2 touchdowns. Then Roma Dunze had 2. DeAndre Swift had 4. Roshan Johnson had 2. DJ Moore had 4 receptions. Could have been 5 receptions and another touchdown. Mercedes Lewis had a reception to convert a big first down. So 8 receivers that were hit by Caleb Williams today. And then you got to say that this starts and ends with the defense, really. I said it starts with the quarterback, so I'll change it. It ends with the defense, and they're really what held this thing up with the slow start that the Bears offense had. And they have been the backbone of this team throughout the season. I don't need to tell you that. But when you look at some of the team stats in this game, it really jumps off the page at you in terms of what that defense was able to do. You win the turnover battle again, 2-1. In the red zone, you were able to stop them and hold them to 1 field goal, 1 touchdown. Yards per rush, you outgained them almost by a full yard and a half. They had 4 sacks for 30 yards lost, the interception and the fumble recovery. And again, you got to remember, this was a defense that came in banged up with half their starting secondary with Jaquan Brisker and Tyreek Stevenson missing due to injuries. And then you lose Kyler Gordon over the course of the game. I mean, that's a Jaguars offense and a Jaguars team as a whole that came in struggling. But when you're missing that many starters, and that's an NFL team on the other side of the field, and that's a quarterback that can do some things in Trevor Lawrence, to come out and have the performance that they did today, 10 points. I mean, they got the 1 touchdown kind of in garbage time. I don't put a lot of stock in that. So you basically held them to 10 points, 9 points for the majority of that football game, with half of your secondary missing, 3/4 of your secondary really missing once Kyler Gordon left the game. Really, really impressive stuff from that defense and from the Bears as a whole. And like I said, not a lot to complain about. We will find little things to complain about. I got 5 hours to kill, and it's going to be all Bears talk on Bears Overnight with you guys. So, but not a lot to complain about. I want to talk about it with you. This is the last chance you'll have on Bears Overnights for a couple of weeks, because I got the bye coming up this week. So get in with your thoughts at 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on the phone lines or on the text. Here's one from the 847. Don't like London games. 8:30 a.m. start. Should have been at Soldier Field with 60,000 Bears fans. I don't like it either. I'm going to be real. I don't like the kickoff time. I'm not a morning guy. I'm much more of an overnight guy. Like, I'm very much in my zone here tonight hosting Bears Overnights with you. And yeah, you took away a home game, but the way it sounded, man, and I don't understand it, because Jacksonville plays a game there every year. I don't understand. They never seem to have a home field advantage. Like, when you look at the fans and the stands, when you look at or listen to the noise that's being made, It sounded like it was a lot of Bears fans.
A lot,
in the stands,
a lot of Bears fans. Like they were doing the cheering, the bear down, everything. It seemed like a Bears home game. There was no question about that.
This one from the 815. The Bears only had two penalties the entire game for 10 yards. I was going to bring that up later in the show. That's huge.
What a turnaround too, because that Rams game, I think the biggest complaint, Rami, was the Bears were constantly being penalized. They won the game, but the penalties were really, really a problem. This week, again, right to the texter's point, two penalties in a game, that's a very complete performance all around.
And I have to give Matt Eberflus credit for that, because when they do have all those penalties, I go, this is an undisciplined team, and ultimately that comes back to coaching. And when they are the more disciplined team out there, and not just in terms of the penalties, but keeping the football. You know what I mean? You had the one interception by Caleb Williams, but they've been very secure with the football. They're very good at taking the football away from the other team, forcing them to make the stupid mistakes and then capitalizing on them. I heard, I think it was Kurt Warner talking during the game, and it's one of those footballisms that you kind of roll your eyes at, but it makes sense when you think about it. He said he was talking to Matt Eberflus, and one of the things he's constantly preaching is 1 + 1 = 3 in terms of playing like as a complete team and all three phases, all three. But it adds up. Like the math does add up. I know it doesn't. I know it doesn't. 1 + 1 = 3. But if you like, if a team gets into field goal range or into the red zone, and you can take the ball away from them and take points off the board and then capitalize on that and put points on the board, that's what he means by 1 + 1 = 3. You're taking points off and putting points on. That's a swing completely in the other direction. And they've done that a number of times this season when teams drive inside the 40, which is now field goal range in today's NFL because of these crazy legs, or if a team gets inside the red zone and they'll get a pick or a fumble. That, and then you can actually take that and capitalize it and drive down the field and get 3 points or get 6 points. That is huge, man. And that's exactly what you need with the rookie quarterback.
Well, do you remember too, there was another play. It was, I believe, up the middle. It was a dump off pass to Travis Etienne. Tremaine Edmonds flew all over that, knocked the ball out as soon as, I think it was Etienne, like I said, tucked it in, fumble. Edmonds dives over him and gets the ball, but they rule as an incomplete pass. I didn't necessarily agree with it. I thought tucking the ball in was that football move to complete the process of a catch. I was like,
that's
okay,
right. Yeah.
Whatever. But there was another play right there that it could have been another turnover.
No, I thought that was a fumble too. I had forgotten to mention that. I thought that was a fumble too.
I'm not the only one. I feel better about that.
No, I mean, it was a football move. Like, I think I know what a football move is.
I was pretty upset at the time. I'm like, okay, so I guess tucking the football into your body doesn't count as completing the process
of
a
catch. And he turned and moved forward.
But again, it didn't matter because, like you said, the Bears are so, this defense is so opportunistic with forcing turnovers. It's just an excellent job all around by them again.
It's not a coincidence. Like a lot, and turnovers are to some degree luck. You know what I mean? Of the ball, it's an oblong ball. It bounces weird. You know, there's always some luck involved with turnovers, but the Bears are forcing these turns. I mean, it's not a coincidence. I think the number is 12 straight games now. Yeah, Chicago has held its opponent to 21 or fewer points in each of its last 12 games. They have a turnover in 12 of their last 13 games.
So it's a remarkable streak.
It's insane. It is absolutely insane. I've talked enough for now. I'm with you until 5, though. I'll talk plenty more. I am Rami Makhlouf. It's Bears Overnights. But I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. I see lots of text coming in. See a few folks waiting on the phone lines. You guys get on there as well, and I will hear from you next. Bears Overnights back right after.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
After this.
Keenan, you've been a part of some incredible wide receiver rooms throughout your career. Where does this room rank compared to some of those others?
It's up at the top, for sure. From top to bottom, tight ends, running backs, receivers, obviously, and then you got a quarterback like Caleb. I think we can be real special.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's me with you until 5 a.m. on a Football Monday here on The Score. 312-644-6767. Want to hear from you on the phones, on the text, before we hear from Bears head coach Matt Eberflus coming up at the back end of this hour. Got a text in the first segment I read, don't like London games in the 8:30 start. Another text from a 773, get used to it. The NFL isn't doing this to share American culture. These are the early steps in globalizing the NFL. Yeah, I get it. It's not going to stop anytime soon. Why can't they play on our time? That's what I don't get. Like, we won the war, didn't we? Why can't they play on our time? That's my question. I got to get up early so a bunch of Brits can go and watch the game on their time. No, they should be watching it on our time. But I digress. The Bears won today, and I'm happy. 35-16, not just a win, an impressive win, another big step in the right direction, especially for this offense. And I want to hear from you guys about it. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Deerfield and hear from Jimmy. Jimmy, you're on Bears Overnight. What's up, bud?
I want to say thank you for having me on. I love the show.
Thank you.
And couldn't be happier that, kudos to the coaching staff and everyone else to having the Bears ready to play. Even though the first two drives didn't look all that great, but at the same time, they were awesome. And my point is the schedule, it may be soft, but I think it's really favorable to get Caleb and the offense and the defense, to be able to get themselves in a position to be ready for San Francisco defense, Detroit's running game and Detroit's defense, or Minnesota's defense. So I think, the fact that we're fortunate to get the favorable schedule kind of helps us get our systems in order, our protection, our personnel, and Caleb getting comfortable And I love to hear your thoughts. But again, thanks for having me on, and I love your show.
Thanks for coming on, Jimmy. We appreciate it, and all the kind words. Yeah, man, the schedule's lining up real nice for the Bears right now. To not only win some games, but like Jimmy said, to move in the right, to keep moving and taking some steps in the right direction. It helps having some easier competition when you're trying to get better. And yeah, Carolina and Jacksonville, two of the worst defenses in this league, two teams that came in with losing records. You do have Washington after the bye, and they've been playing some good football. And they lost today to Baltimore, but they put up a good fight, and Jaden Daniels had himself another solid game. After that, you get Arizona and New England. Again, a couple of teams that have not played great football this year, especially on the defensive side of things. So, yeah, a chance to get fat before the back half of that schedule, and things get real tough in the back half of that schedule. Jimmy alluded to it. You have six divisional games in the last eight games, and sandwiched in between that is a visit to San Francisco and a game at Soldier Field against Seattle. So the back half is really tough, and you do need to capitalize on this front half and on this stretch that they're in the midst of right now, with three games still up ahead of them in this stretch that I'm talking about against Washington, Arizona, and New England, not just to stack up some wins and to build yourself some margin of error in the standings and as far as the playoffs go, but to use these teams to let Caleb Williams figure out the NFL and to let that offense really find their rhythm. The defense is clicking. The defense is playing at as high a level as you could ask, as you could expect, and if they're playing at the level they're playing now in the back half of that schedule, that should be good enough. That should be good enough for the Bears to get some wins. I will say this, though, when we're talking about the schedule and what the Bears are doing in it right now, it could be just a little bit better in terms of what they've done. It could be just a little bit better, because that game against Indianapolis, very winnable, and a team that you should be able to beat. And while they did beat Los Angeles, and I swear I'm going to keep this show positive, I'm going to keep it upbeat, and I'm going to keep it positive. While they did beat Los Angeles, they could have had like this jumping off, this springboard that kind of started against Carolina and continued today against Jacksonville. They had the opportunity for that to start 2 weeks earlier with a really bad Indianapolis defense and a team they could have beat, and a Los Angeles defense that was really bad, and they did beat, but I feel like they could have done more against. A lot of people were feeling really good after that game, and I was like, they had two good drives. The third touchdown, well, it was the first touchdown they scored, but the other touchdown that they scored was a short field after a turnover and a drive that they almost screwed up, and it got saved by a pass interference.
Well, it's really interesting hearing what Stacey Dale said on Friday with Mullion Hall about the not scripting plays up until past that Colts game, and now you kind of like start to think about it, and it's like it really kind of unfortunately does make sense.
When I first heard that, for as hard as I've been on Shane Waldron, I was like, that's weird, but like I kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I was like, mate, I never played in the NFL. I know that might shock some people who've ever seen me, but I never played in the NFL, and I was like, maybe not everybody scripts their first 15 plays, and maybe this is how Caleb Williams likes to operate, and his coach has kind of given him some leeway and some power over the offense. But the more I heard like ex-players talk about it, Kurt Warner talked about it a little bit today, and he didn't go full like flamethrower on Shane Waldron, but you could read between the lines and hear what he was saying, that it was odd and probably not the best way to go. But hearing Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes, I think it was on Thursday, talking about it, and he went in depth about why you do script your first 15 plays and the advantage that it does give a quarterback and does give an offense. You have it, Tyler? Oh, perfect. This is Olin Krutz a couple days ago on Spiegel and Holmes talking about this controversy that came up earlier this week of Shane Waldron not scripting the first 15, the first few weeks.
Yeah, I don't even know what to think about that, and we all know what kind of professional Stacey Dales is, right? And we know when she says something, she's got a lot of sources behind what she says. You almost don't want to believe that what she said right there is true, right? You almost want to say like, well, it must have took something somebody said the wrong way. But if they didn't have a first 15, yes, it's something I've never heard of. And it points to the fact of the way the Bears offense looked discombobulated in the first couple of weeks. And you wondered why some of those plays were coming out. They weren't stacking plays. They didn't seem to make any sense. There wasn't really a plan when you watched it early on, right? But like, listen, man, last week they had a first 15 and that first play should have went for a pick six, right? So there's a lot to the story, right? We all remember J.C. Horn, Keenan Allen ran out. Caleb threw it behind him, and Keenan Allen had to turn into a DB and knock that ball to J.C. Horn's hands. Or the first play would have been a pick six, and there you go. Scripted first play for a pick six, and I think they went three and out. So, you know, they came back the next drive, obviously ran downhill against, you know, I don't know what it was, like their fifth string defensive tackle, and the rest is history, right? But that does worry me a little bit. Why, I guess someone's going to ask Shane Waldron about why he would do that, why he would not go into the game with a first 15. I used to have that in my hotel room at night, Lawrence, and I would go through the first 15. I'd turn the video on of the team we were playing. I would look in my playbook and really get my mind right for the looks I was going to get in those first 15 versus what front, versus what blitzes, and I knew what calls I had to make and how I had to organize the blocking scheme and the line call. So to not give a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, a first 15 so he can study and get ready for the game seems – I'm a little worried about that, to be honest, and I guess that's why we heard all the stuff from Mercedes Lewis and all those guys coming out talking about, look, we got to change some things around here.
Yeah, I heard that, and I was – up until that, I was trying to give Waldron the benefit of the doubt and sort of hear out both sides. But when I heard Olin say that, I was like, whoa. Like, that is damning for Shane Waldron and that whole story – that they weren't scripting the first 15 plays. But if they're doing it now and seemingly they are and seemingly it's working, then I'm willing to move forward and not keep looking in the past. But at the end of this season, when we're sort of putting this all together and seeing if this team did or didn't get to where we wanted them to get to, that'll certainly be factored in. That will 100% be factored in. I know things are real happy and real good right now, but if at the end of the season this offense didn't develop, didn't get to the point that we wanted it to get to, and this team didn't win as many games as we wanted or expected them to win, we will come back to that. But for now, while things are good and the Bears did win 35-16 today, I'll focus on the positive. But that was a weird story to come out from Stacey Dales during the week, and to some degree explains what we saw the first few weeks of the season.
Can you believe, too, going back to this is before the Colts game, the Texans game, they had the ball under 2 minutes left to go with a chance to win with how bad they played offensively.
Yeah.
And again, this was before the first 15 or whatever was not being scripted. Oh, which play am I going to go here? Oh, let's go this one over here. Crazy how they almost had a chance to win that game as well and got past midfield on that final drive.
You still have a chance while sort of tying one arm behind your back the way that they did to start that game. It does say some good thing. Like that's the glass half full there, Tyler, to say that, yeah, they, even with that being the case, even with that handicap being the case, they still had a chance to win that football game. And since then, like I said, that says something about Shane Waldron also, that he's receptive when his players talk to him and say, we got to change things. I think that's a good trait for a coach to have. They're moving in the right direction now. You know what I mean? And if they keep moving in the right direction, great. If there are hiccups, if there are bumps in the road, and like I said, if this thing isn't where we want it to be at the end of the road, maybe something we revisit and trying to figure out why. You know what I mean? And that slow start will be part of what we're looking at and wondering why, and the not scripting the first 15 plays into that slow start.
Before we get to a couple callers here, you brought up a really interesting point about you are going to not judge Caleb Williams super, super harshly like you are the rest of the players on this roster, or team, I should say, and even coaching staff, I'll throw that in as well. So I want to ask you, out of everyone on this, I guess, offense, we'll go offense because Caleb Williams is obviously the center of this team now, who are you going to be judging on the harshest scale out of everyone else?
Honestly, everyone not named Caleb Williams or Rome Odunze, because that I think that's how this team was built. That's how this team was designed. When we were all having the debate, Tyler, of Fields versus Caleb Williams, one of the points in the Caleb and one of the checks in the Caleb Williams box was reset the quarterback clock, get a guy that you can win with on the rookie contract, right? That's what a lot of people were pointing to. So what that means to me is coming into this season, while I know they had a rookie quarterback and I know there were going to be mistakes and there were going to be growing pains, I counted on the veterans around him on the offense, a very good defense, which makes a quarterback's life a lot easier to pick him up. And I also expected Shane Waldron to be a better offensive coordinator than what we've seen here in Chicago recently, and for Matt Eberflus to show us that he's an NFL head coach. And a lot of people argue he hasn't had the chance to show us that with the teams he's had for the first 2 years or the first year and a half before the Montez Sweat trade and things sort of started coming together, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So if your name isn't Caleb Williams and your name isn't Rome Odunze, I don't have a lot of patience for you. I don't have a lot of patience for that offensive line to come together. I don't have a lot of patience for Shane Waldron to sort of unlock this offense, and he is now. Like, we're seeing it now, and it was first Rome Odunze having the big game, and Cole Kmet had the big game, and then DJ Moore, and today we saw Keenan Allen and Cole Kmet have the big game. Along the way, you've sort of unlocked DeAndre Swift, so he is, like, piece by piece unlocking this offense and sort of seemingly getting it to where we want it to be, but when things weren't moving in that direction, weren't moving fast enough in that direction, a lot of people are going first year offensive coordinator. Well, it's not his first job. Like one of the, again, I talked about some of the benefits of drafting a Caleb Williams. One of the pluses, one of the benefits they talked about when they hired Shane Waldron is not his first rodeo. This guy has been an offensive coordinator. This guy has called plays for an offense before. Look what he did for Geno Smith and that Seattle offense when he was there. So to come here and expect me to wait for him to figure things out and to see some of the play calls that we saw the first few weeks, Tyler, like I still lose sleep about the first and five or first and goal from inside the five against Indy.
Oh, that was rough. And then again, too, going back to Seattle, just for last year, obviously, they added Jaxon Smith-Njigba, mm-hmm. and they had a similar three-headed monster receiver too. So I get it, you know, different guys in different situations, but isn't that the whole NFL now? Like, coordinators are bouncing around year to year at a rapid rate. Like, the fact that Ben Johnson is on his third season with the Lions is kind of a miracle.
It is. And he for all intents and purposes should have had a head coaching job this past offseason and passed.
100%.
He passed on it. He didn't. He was like, I'll come back around next year, see if there are any jobs that I actually want. But he could have easily been a head coach this year, and that would be the norm for an offensive coordinator to lead an offense for two seasons that put up the numbers like what they put up in Detroit and not get a job somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll have to do the math, obviously, and think, because I think I know who's the OC for every single team. But again, the point is, so many other teams and franchises are in the same exact spot that Shane Waldron and the Bears are in. So yes, you know, you want that offseason to gain that trust, that the rhythm. But once it comes game time, you have to start having everything come together. Like, there isn't a lot of there's always urgency in the NFL.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why a game like Indianapolis still haunts me. Like, if they missed the playoffs by one game, I'll go back to that game and be like, you could have won that one.
100%.
You could have easily won that one. Some really bad decisions by Matt Eberflus in that game.
Some awful throws by Anthony Richardson.
Awful play calling by Shane Wall. I will point back to that one if they missed the playoffs by one game. But again, no need to dwell on that. Bears won 35-16 today. Text from the 773. The Bears have officially taken their first step in becoming a legitimate offense that has a competent leader at quarterback. That gives me chills. That gives me the warm and fuzzies. Right,
I saw a stat too watching the Sunday Night Football pregame. For the first time since 1956, the Bears have consecutive games with 5+ offensive touchdowns.
That's, yeah, I saw that number.
1956.
That is absolutely insane.
This is the kind of stuff we were talking about this whole offseason.
You shouldn't be doing anything on offense that you haven't done since 1956 as an NFL football team. That should not be happening.
That should not be happening. But I'm so grateful that it is.
No, for sure.
Seeing these signs.
For sure. Let's go all the way out to L.A. and Cliff, who's listening on the Odyssey app. Cliff, you're on Bears Overnight. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great conversation.
Appreciate it.
The Olin Krutz, I was going to go another way, but the end of the Olin Krutz piece.
Yes.
Where he says he takes that from the first 15 plays, he can really break those plays down and just really go into nuance of what the defense could possibly scheme, how they'll block, which way they'll move. That explains that 4th-and-1 dumb call in Indianapolis. Nobody knew how to even do that play on the Bears. You can tell. And that's why it's so different with them having the scripted plays and building play on top of play to build something right. I'll give another example for me. And to me, this is when, in my head, for all the Caleb talk, this is when he arrived as an NFL quarterback to me, even in his first 6 games of his rookie year. But that first touchdown pass to commit was a thing of beauty from snap to pass. The two fakes, the first one, he then spins around, fakes it the other way. He then turns straight. I can see the numbers. I can see 18. I can see Williams. Slowly gives that ball a great pass to commit. Commit does the running from there. That's a quarterback in the NFL that I always watched at 3 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Yes.
When we always would see Bears quarterbacks, and you go, when can we get one of those? And it was right there. I said I had one of those. And last thing. Can we please stop saying they beat the teams, weaker teams? This team isn't there yet. This team is not there yet to say we're stronger than this. They're playing great right now these past 3 games. Do not get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But they did lose an Indianapolis team, even with crappy play calling. They're not there yet, but I think playing these games, especially offensively, for Caleb, because now we're coming to it's going to be the second half where you're playing mostly divisional games. It's setting up to be beautiful for me as a watcher of football. So let's enjoy what they're doing. Not saying you, and it's not a criticism of you, Robbie.
Mm-hmm. No.
But just when people say they're beating, oh, look at the Carolina, they're a high school team. Oh, look at Jackson. No, they're a football team that just a year ago, and definitely 2 years ago, would have beaten the Bears. So enjoy what this team is doing. Keep improving each week. And Shane Waldron, I swear to God, just me, you're not smarter than the room. You're not smarter than the room, but you are a smart offensive coordinator. Just stay that way. Play the game in front of you, because this Caleb kid, honestly, now I'm starting to see what they're saying, and it may come to fruition by the end of this year for sure.
Cliff, I appreciate the call, man, and the kind words. And I get what he's saying about – They're not there yet where you can talk about they're beating up on crappy teams. They're beating lesser competition. And I get what you're saying, but given – look, I know they only won 7 games last year. But you can also say this is a team that won 7 games last year and really stepped things up and turned it up in the second half of the season. And then on top of that, added the number 1 pick in Caleb Williams and the number 8 pick in Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift. So there was a lot of improvement made to this roster in the offseason, and they should be on another level than these teams that we're talking about, these teams that they've beat up on the last couple of weeks. And when you go out and beat them convincingly the way that they did, well, you're kind of showing that you are. That you are a level above them. I think it was the last time I was here on The Score on Wednesday night. They let me get on the microphone once or twice a week, and I appreciate it every single time. And somebody texted in and said the Bears have moved up a tier in terms of NFL teams, and they've moved out of the tier of bad. And if they have, they do exactly what they've done last week against Carolina and this week against Jacksonville, and you hope that they can continue to do it with at least 2 more teams out of their next 3 that they should be able to do stuff like this against. And I don't think that's taking anything away from the Bears, because it's not like they faced these teams that we all looked at as lesser competition, and it came down to the last drive of the game. No, they came out against these teams and got a big lead and put the foot on the throat and ended the thing, which is what good teams do. They won those games by two or three scores. So you can say, and I get when Cliff says, like, that they're not there yet, and you can't say that they're just beating up on bad teams or beating up lesser competition. Look, man, I'm not going to tell you how to fan. I'm not going to tell you how to think or where the Bears should be in your mind. But if you don't think they're there yet, then they're showing you that they're moving into that territory.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So, yes, the way that they're winning these games, you have to beat up on the bad teams.
Yes.
That's the old saying that everyone knows. Maybe they're not there yet, but what do you do to get into that upper echelon? You have to win games like this against Carolina. I mean, Jacksonville's got a lot of talent, but they're 1-4, 1-5 now for a reason, right? You got to beat up on the teams when you have a chance to.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, they could have beat up on Los Angeles just a little bit more, and they could have won that game against Indianapolis. But they're here now, 4-2 going into the bye week, which I think a lot of us would have been happy with when the season started, and especially with the way that they've played these last 2 weeks, putting up 5 touchdowns on offense, not the defense scoring touchdowns, but actually five touchdowns by the offense 2 weeks in a row, as Tyler pointed out, the first time since 1956 that the Bears offense
I
has
saw
done
that, and I was like,
that hurt my heart.
Unbelievable.
That hurt my heart a little bit. I want to hear from you guys all night long. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's Bears Overnight, and I'm with you until 5 a.m. I'll take your calls, your text at 312-644-6767. We'll also hear from Matt Eberflus, Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, much more to come on Bears Overnight. So we're back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.